No, it's not excuse. Would you mind to just explain a little how you connect this incident of Joseph in the prison in the life of Lord Jesus Christ?
Do you have any thoughts on
it?
No. No. Because I didn't have these thoughts. I didn't
no, I'm just have asking.
Oh, you're asking. He's asking God. Circumstances of unrighteous ruling and unrighteous judgment against them, he behaved there just like he would heal somebody when he was walking in Galilee with no attack or anything. He was the same. So I think that the life of the Lord Jesus reflects that when he was mistreated unrighteously by guards, been taken to prison there, I'm sure everybody was dragged into prison. Cursing, swearing, saying everything bad. And here's an example of a prisoner that they dragged him, when they dragged Barabbas, for example, that year. I don't think they heard any kind of anything. I think he was cursing the governor and the high priest and everybody that dragged him. Not with him. I imagine when Joseph went to jail, the keeper of the tower of that dungeon all of a sudden sees a person. Maybe he said, please. Maybe he said, thank you. Maybe he went and opened the door to somebody. Maybe when he find two people talking with each other, he didn't just walk in and interrupt the conversation, but he was polite and said, excuse me. Maybe he said good morning in the morning to the prisoner. I mean, these are simple things that being polite, sometimes like it's not the character of the world today. You gotta be macho and you just don't like, hey, yo, what's going on? No, maybe he was having a certain behavior. Maybe he had showed some respect that the prisoner, the guard, said, there's something wrong with this man. What is this? What kind of prisoner is that? I mean, he was accused of one of that really bad things. I mean, he must be a really horrible person to be accused of that. And he brings him there. But not only that, the verse is very interesting about when they put Joseph in jail. It said in verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners. Now Joseph becomes a keeper of the prison. He's in charge of all these prisoners. But not only that, that they were all in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Whatsoever the prisoners have to do, Joseph was the doer of it. I really wonder if Joseph started showing the prisoners how to work, how to do things. He gains their confidence in such a way that when the two of them had a bad dream, and Joseph came to them in the morning and probably said, good morning, how are you today? Now, if the guard sees these guys grumbling around, you are probably with them today, get to work. What are you sitting here morning about? But Joseph said, what is the story? What's going on? He was willing to listen to them. I mean, these are all decent characteristics. Ought to characterize the Christians in the public way, in dealing with, we're talking here about unbelievers, in dealing with them. And there is no other way that for them to kind of find why is that man is different than to come to the conclusion that the Lord was with him. He was right there with the prisoner. He was doing the same work that we were doing. He was actually doing it for them. I wonder if one of the prisoners was just speaking so bad that he could not do his work, that Joseph would go out of his way to do the work for him. And the prison turned into an orderly house. The jailer didn't have to worry. He could go home now. He doesn't worry about it. I wonder if he stopped locking the doors. Because if you have Joseph with you, you don't want to go home. I don't want to go home to another master. I would stay in jail with Joseph. Because they were so comfortable in the presence of Christ. And I think that's what Christ does when he comes to the life of man. He really brings blessing and order.
I think the real lesson here in the prison is that when we honor God, very often there will be suffering. And honoring God will really, you're not going to go forward in this world if you honor God. Sometimes the Lord will bless you and you'll have some success, but usually the rule is that when you honor God, you'll have suffering in this world. The Lord said that, that the world will hate you because it hated him. And so it was said that the disciple is not above his master and the servant is not above the Lord. So, but we can also take solace in the fact that he makes all things beautiful in his time. And if it takes till the Lord comes again, or he will reward us for what we have done for him. He might reward us here in this world, maybe not. Maybe we'll suffer this our entire lives and never be blessed in this world with something physical. But the Lord is no man's debtor. He honored Joseph, and he will honor those who will suffer for his name's sake.
I want to make just one practical application for us. We've been talking about how difficult it must be to see yourself working hard and doing the right thing, and then you end up in a very bad situation. One of the things that may have kept Joseph going and not falling into despair is realizing that God is over it all. God is in charge. One of the major differences between a believer and an unbeliever is the unbeliever doesn't see that God is in everything. For us, if we are somewhere, it's because the Lord wants us there. If we go up, it's because the Lord wants us to go up. If we go down, it's because the Lord wants us to go down. If you ask somebody in the world, how do you define success? They'll give you an answer that has to do with getting more power, more wealth, more stuff, more respect, more responsibility, more money, whatever. Going up, winning more promotions, getting to the top of the corporate ladder. But for the Christian, success isn't those things. Success is to please our Lord. Because he bought us with his own blood. We belong to him. For us to succeed, it's to do the things that please him. I just wanted to share a verse in Philippians, written by the Apostle Paul as he was getting close to the end of his course. He says, Philippians 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but in all boldness, as always, now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live as Christ and to die again. That was success for the Apostle Paul. Success was that Christ shall be magnified in my body. I don't care how that happens. If that means being a millionaire, a billionaire, if that means being a prisoner and getting executed, I don't care. Whatever it is, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. Because there was a time when I didn't belong to Christ, and I only did what I wanted to do, but now he met me on that road to Damascus, and he, after all the sin that I had committed, he forgave me all my sins, he bought me with his blood, I now belong to him. All I want is to please him, to magnify him. If I do that, then I'm successful, then I have succeeded. For us, as we go through life, may the Lord help us to have the right perspective, not to look at, did I go from a lower paying job to a higher paying job? Or did I go from being unemployed to getting a great job? Or whatever it is. But to just take everything as, assuming of course we're walking with the Lord, like as we've been saying, if you went from having a job to being unemployed because you did the wrong thing at your job, well, don't glory in that. But if you're pleasing the Lord, let's say, for example, at your job, and the economy goes downhill and you get laid off, you can moan and groan with the rest of your unbelieving coworkers that got laid off and say, oh, why did this happen to me? I was one of the best performers. I don't understand this. Why did I work so hard just to get laid off? Or you can say, I pleased the Lord when I was working. Now the Lord wants me to be unemployed. By His grace, I will please the Lord unemployed. To take it from His hands is to really have the right perspective. It's not to get stuff, to get out of jail. That's not the goal. It's to be faithful where the Lord has placed you. And to for us as believers now, taking it into the New Testament, our goal is to magnify our Lord.
We will have a break for 15 minutes while going now. And we'll come back here at 3:30 for the last session of singing and reading as well.